Okay. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. There are some here, this is the anonymity statement, there are some here who are not familiar with our tradition of personal anonymity at the public level. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. Thus, we respectfully ask that the AA speakers and AA members not be photographed, videotaped, or identified by full name on audio tapes and in published or broadcast reports of our meetings, including those reports on the Internet. The assurance of anonymity is essential in our efforts to help other problem drinkers who may wish to share our recovery program with us. And our tradition of anonymity reminds us that AA principles come before personalities. A further note about anonymity. Out of respect for others, please do not take photographs during any of the meetings at the International Convention. Also, be considerate when taking photographs around convention venues. Take care you do not capture images of AA members, family members, and friends who did not give permission and may not wish to appear in your pictures. Please do not post recognizable photos of identifiable AA members on websites accessible to the public, including unrestricted pages on social networking sites. All the recordings of this meeting will be available at the recording sales booth in Hall B of the Convention Center. The topic for this meeting is HAL, Steps 1, 2, and 3. I believe there's special needs seating in the back. Is that right? Someplace back there. There's over here to the left, there's special needs seating. And our topic is Steps 1, 2, and 3, HAL. Our speakers are Janice W. from Bastrop, Texas. And Dave R. from Georgia. After they're done, there'll be an open sharing from the floor. I'll raise your hands. I'll call on you. And you get, we're limited to 3 minutes, I'm told, on how long we can share for, so we can get as many people in as possible. So, I hope you all feel the power. Let's go.
Janice Woods, I'm an alcoholic. And because God truly touched my life through the program and the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, I hadn't had a drink since April the 13th, 1979. Thank you. And for this period of sobriety, I will remain eternally grateful. First of all, and because I am from Texas, this ain't my job and it's not step one and two, but welcome to the great state of Texas. We are so glad you are here. My own group is the Lost Pines group in Bastrop, Texas. They're right over here. But I hope you have a home group, too, because I have the best home group in the planet. Okay? Okay. All right. I do not know what you expect. I can only tell you my experience, my strength, and my hope regarding HAL, which is in the spiritual experience, if you've read the book. And as well as steps 1, 2, and 3. If I'd have known anything about the disease of alcoholism, I would have known from my first drink that I had a problem and that I was an alcoholic. You see, I had one beer, a shot of vodka. I got extremely drunk. I immediately threw up. I had a blackout, then a threw up, then I passed out, and the next morning I went home and told my mother asked me if I had been drinking the night before. And I said, no. Now, that was in a very short period of time. Had I known at the age of 15, I might have earlier sobriety. But it took every drink that I had between that period of time until I got to Alcoholics Anonymous. And actually, my debut, I call it my debut in Alcoholics Anonymous, was in 1978. And that's when I realized that I might have a problem with alcohol. And I'm not going to go into those details other than I'm going to tell you this, that as far as step one is concerned, when I drink, I get drunk. And that's the bottom. I never recall ever drinking not socially, whatever that is. I'm not sure what it is. Because when I take a drink, I tell you, I'm going to have another one. And that's just the way it was from the get. I never said, let's go to happy hour and have one drink. And I was working on a military base, so there's a lot of happy hours at that point in time. All I wanted to do, let's go party and let's get drunk. And that's what we did. I grew up in West Texas, and there's nothing to do out there anyway but drink. And so when I got to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous in September of 1978, I went to a down-and-out detox center in downtown Austin, Texas. And it was there I was introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous. And the first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous that I attended was in that detox center. And I don't want to ever forget what happened on that night. A man came in, and he was sat at a table, actually. And I'm in there. I'm the only winette with all the winos. And that was fun. And this man sat down, and the first thing he did was tell his name. And then he read this something, I don't know, I think it's called How It Works. And I remember him reading that. And after the meeting, I also remember talking to him, and he was telling me about being an alcoholic and where I could go when I left that detox center. And so the next morning, when I got out of detox 5 days later, I went to another meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and that was in Austin, Texas. Also know that we're not cured of the disease of alcoholism. My book tells me that we are recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And that's what happened to me after I had a premeditated drunk. I did not have a relapse. I had a premeditated drunk. I mean, I actually planned it right down after 4 months of sobriety. What I learned in that 4 months of sobriety is what Alcoholics Anonymous was all about. And I had done some of the things that they told me to do in the beginning, and it was, you know, get a sponsor, go to these 90 meetings. I haven't found that one in my book, but they suggested. And I did that. There's only one thing I didn't do, and they told, don't get in a relationship in your first year of sobriety. Well, by the time I heard that, it was too late. And that was like, so he drank, I drank, then we drank. So that pretty much sums up a premeditated drunk. But it was after I came back in April of 1979 is when I got into and on the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it was at that point in time that I also got a real sponsor. And this real sponsor is the one that put me in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I brought my second big book, and I've been told that you start with that blue part and you turn it over from that point. And that's what I did. On that first page is the hard part, and you keep turning those pages. And and that's what she taught me how to do, was to read the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And once I did that, then we were going to work the steps, and we did. It took me 20 years to work the first step. You see, first step, I was out there drinking, getting ready to not drink. And that was the first step for me. And I am powerless over alcohol. Book tells me I can never safely use alcohol in any form, and I believe that after this premeditated drunk. What has happened with me was, I grew up in a very fundamental religious home, and I really did not want anything to do with this God that everybody kept talking about. And I had a God back then, but it was one of those God loves you, but you're going to hell kind. And on Sunday morning, you'd hear him pounding on that podium, hell, it scared me. And my husband and I are both recovered from a particular religion, and we kind of call it the terrorist group. But anyway, because they warned you in the church what's going to happen. You're going to hell, period. I made some friends in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was sitting in a meeting. I had about 6 months sober, and I had one of my best friends. And that very night in that meeting, she finally gave me a definition of God. I wanted a definition because I was one of those that's, God is what? God is something, whatever it was out there. And she said that God is love. And I did not know that it was the love that I'd been looking for. I'd been looking for it in all the wrong places. Honky-tonks, bars, you name it, I was there. But God wasn't there. But, well, he might have been, I don't know. I didn't get to dance with him. When she said that God is love, that just relieved me somewhat. Because I knew where that particular quote came from. It is from that other book. And what I did later was I have expanded on my definition of my God, and you're welcome to use this one. Because this is the God of my understanding, and I stole it from Bill. I don't have any original thoughts. I don't have any original sayings. But there's a whole bunch. If you'll listen, you can steal them from people. But this one happened to be in Bill's story. It has to do with where he's talking about a God that is love, superhuman strength, and direction. And for me, that pretty much sums up the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I get all the love I need right here in this room right now, and rooms just like this, my home group, wherever groups, all of them. And I get all that. The superhuman strength I get is the energy that comes from you. And what I've been told, what I have to do in order to keep this, I have to give it away. And so that is that. Sometimes, I'm tired. I don't know about y'all. And it's only Thursday. But I have some kind of superhuman strength. I don't need any more direction. I've got it. And my book gives me all the direction that I need for my life. And so with that fundamental understanding of what God is, I really had also played, let's go to fancy treatment centers. That was a fun one. Or let's drink and go to AA. That's another game I played. But after I got back, it became apparent to me, because y'all know who they is, don't you? And at this point, they were the ones that had been sober longer than me. And if I would listen to they, I could get sober and stay sober. And that's what I have tried to do for the last 31 years. And then they put you in the book, So this third step, we get to that, and I don't really know that much about it at that point, other than there's all these words and it's in black on this white paper, and I didn't have any clue what they were talking about as far as making this third step. Well, what I have since found out, since I've been sober a day or two, tried to study the book and work with others and get worked with, God knows that we all need that, is that when I made a decision early on sobriety, that I was going to turn my will and my life over to the care of this God that was love, superhuman strength, and direction, and I was going to turn my life over to that. And a lot of people, I still hear, well, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, what it means for me is that I made a decision. I can never not make that decision. I can make a different decision. But I made that decision a long, long time ago. And I made a decision that I was going to work the rest of this program. I made a decision and I was turning over my thinking and my actions. And that is one that I have to work on every day about my thinking, because I don't need to think. If I'm sitting around thinking, I'm in trouble. And so that's the one slogan. Of course, we all want to rewrite the book. We want to rewrite the slogan. That's one I take off the wall. Think, think, think. No, don't think, don't think, don't think. And that's what I would do, but they didn't ask me, and I ain't running this deal. You know what I mean? And he is. And then this honesty, open-minded, and willingness, which is in the back of the book in the spiritual experience, you know, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. Do I have all those? And I learned the honesty, that self-honesty, by working the rest of this program. I used to call my second sponsor, both of my first and second sponsor had passed away, and they went to the big meeting, but oh my God, they have left me the most beautiful gifts I've ever had in my entire life. You know, and I would call that second sponsor, and the first thing out of his mouth, and many of you might have known him if you're from this area, where is God in all of this? Where is God in all of this? And I don't think I ever made a call that I did not hear that. And that's what this was about, was me getting in touch with that God through the rest of these steps, my thinking and my life. So that honesty came from that. He used to also say things like, when did you get so dishonest? And that's the other thing that we all have to work on our character. In fact, that's another step, not mine. And we're not talking about that. But my open-mindedness has been gradual, kind of like that spiritual awakening of the that comes gradually. Well, that's kind of the open-mindedness. I have to work on that open-mindedness because I have a closed mind, and it's I don't always want to hear what you have to say, and I'm trying to get better. The willingness, and I'm willing to change. I am willing to change. I am willing to change, and that means I have to believe differently. And that's exactly what's happened to me. I believe that I can stay sober the rest of my life because I have done those three steps and try to practice all of my heart and soul how. And I hope that you, all of us, this weekend and when you go home, that we all begin to practice how. How, and steps 1, 2, and 3. And if you forget how, that turn that blue page and keep flipping those pages. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Janice. My name's Dave, and I'm an alcoholic. Feels good to say it in front of all you folks. If you were across the street earlier, the band was playing, and the lead singer announced, "This is the longest conga line in the world." Were you there? And I got thinking about, if all of us, now we're the ones who busted our lives up in the lives of other people, when we destroyed our finances, all our relationships, our jobs, our bank accounts, everything that you can imagine. If we were all still in our cups, can you imagine having the longest conga line in the world? It would be a disaster. You know, we can get 60,000 non-drinking alcoholics together in a place like this, and we have a wonderful celebration of our sobriety. But we couldn't get 600, such as this room holds, still in our cups without having all kinds of debauchery and fights and the police coming and all that kind of thing. So, I tell you, it's a blessing to be here. Folks, unlike Janice, I only have 3 years of sobriety. I didn't come into this program until I was 61 years old. Now, yeah. I wear this little medallion that has a 3 on it. Whenever I had 2 years, I used to, people look at it and I'd say, it says if you're not drinking, it's 2 years. If you're drinking, it's 11 years. I wear this medallion everywhere I go, and I try to wear it on the outside because I don't know who the next suffering alcoholic is. And I want those folks, as I come across them in life, whether it's at DUI schools or wherever I happen to speak, I want them to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that this will work for you if you're willing. If you're ready for it, it's ready for you. I drank to the point that I was emaciated. I weighed 115 pounds. My liver was fatty, going cirrhotic or whatever you call it. My pancreas was failing. My heart was depleted of certain chemicals, and I was ready to die. And I had several doctors tell me that. I had cancer of the prostate, and I had to have the surgery put off because, you know, after 10 o'clock at night, you don't eat or drink anything. Now, the eating part I could handle. The drinking part gave me some trouble. And by the time they got the IVs into me and they were ready to put the anesthesia, I was beginning to go into the DTs already. I slept maybe in snatches of 15 to 20 minutes, get up, have a slug of whiskey, go pass out again, do that all night long, get up at 4 o'clock, drink a pint of whiskey. Then my wife would be getting up, and I didn't want her to know I was drinking, so I'd make coffee and poured it into coffee, and nobody would know, you know. And that's the way my merry-go-round life went. Two-fifths a day, chasing it with mixed drinks and beer. I lived in a complete, total blackout. There was not 1 minute of the day whenever I drew a sober breath, and this was for years, and it was killing me. It was actually killing me, and I would look in the mirror and say, hey, you know, for a guy this age, zero body fat. You know? I thought I was fish around. What about, talk about cunning and baffling, okay, that's how it was. Now, I was at a, I got a motorcycle. I came here on my bike, 1,150 miles. And in the last year and a half or so, I put 35,000 AA-related miles on that bike. And I've gone to conventions and everything. Yeah. God, through this program, gave me back my bike. And next to my wife and my kids, I guess it's the love of my life. And so anyway, I don't know how long I get to ride it now. I have said this publicly. I'm going to milk this thing along for a few years. And then when I get too old, I'll probably turn it into a trike and milk it another 4 or 5 years. And then when I get too old for that, I'm going to put a sidecar in it and let you drive it. How? H-O-W. Honest, open, willing. Those are the key elements to the beginning of this program, sobriety. Last year, I rode to the Florida State Convention. It was up in, what's that city up there, Jacksonville? Up in the north part of the state. And at the end of the thing, they had the person with the most time there, and I think they gave him a book or something. But they also had the person with the least amount of time. And that person with the least amount of time only had a few hours, and he was still liquored up, I'm sure. But he'd been out in front of the place, and it was his misfortune to run into one of us. And now, I don't know what ever became of him, but they dragged him inside and gave him a book. So it started him off on the right path. And Janice told me there's a gentleman here tonight that I guess he has 24 hours or something like that. Listen, yeah. I got to check Mickey. You let me know, okay? How much have I got? Just getting started. All right. We never know who the next suffering alcoholic is. And we've heard the expression, we've been brought up on it, I guess, in AA, that we may be the only big book anybody gets to read. And so I feel like I'm in Mecca here, you know, with all you folks. You are the movers and the shakers and the reason AA has survived 75 years. I'm not going to say anything negative about anybody, but I have been on fire in AA since the minute I hit the door. and I plan to die that way, God willing. And I know you're that way, too, or you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't have gone to the trouble and expense and sacrifice it took to get here. So thank God for you, and I appreciate you. How much more willing could a person possibly be than to suddenly, after a whole life of denials, admit that I'm an alcoholic, that my life is unmanageable? You couldn't get any more honest than that, I don't believe. I went into my first AA meeting three plus years ago now, and it was in the basement of an old church, and it was smoke-filled, and the white walls and the tiled ceilings, they all were kind of a creamy color from years of that stuff. And, you know, through my blurry eyes, when I sat down in the back, of course, and there were probably 50 or 60 people in this meeting. And I'm looking through the haze up to the front, and if you ever saw Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, you know, the little place the dwarfs all lived, Walt Disney had a way of making the light coming through those windows at night real warm, glowing yellow. I don't know if you can picture that in your mind. But I had that sensation, you know, sitting in that smoke-filled room, and I didn't think anything about it being nicotine. I just thought, man, I'm almost in heaven here. And these people, I don't remember what the meeting was about, but they began to, they start off by introducing themselves, and they went down the rows and down the rows, and here I'm sitting there, and I've been drinking alcoholically since I was 15, and like, Janice, I never drink socially, I always drink to get clobbered, and I guess some of you can identify with that, huh? Okay. So anyway, I'm sitting there, and hi, I'm Joe, I'm an alcoholic. Hi, I'm Sally, I'm an alcoholic. And it's going row by row, and it's getting back to me. And I'm on pins and needles because I've never admitted that I'm an alcoholic. I've always been the guy who, if you'd leave me alone, I'd be okay, to my wife. Whenever she would decry what I was doing, I'd say, well, you know, I could quit if I wanted. I just don't want to. Or another time I'd say, you know, I just love the taste of whiskey. Okay, all these excuses, all this phony stuff. And that night, as I'm sitting there in the back of that room, I'm debating, am I going to say this, admit this or not? Am I going to admit it or not? And that battle raged in me till the person next to me said, hi, I'm so-and-so, I'm an alcoholic. And then it just blurted out of me, I'm Dave, I'm an alcoholic. And it felt like the weight of the world had been taken off my shoulders. And it started me down the path that brought me to here tonight with you in this fellowship. And I was set free. Now, not totally free. You know, on page 83, I think that's where we read the promises. At the top of that page, then the first line on that page, it says, there's a long road of reconstruction ahead. And it says that way on back there in the book, you know, after 80-some pages. I think it does it that way because if it said it in the beginning of the book, fellas like me couldn't handle it. We quit. Okay? Honesty, making that admission, then willingness. Here I am, raised in a legalistic Baptist church background. Every time the doors were open, we were all there, scrubbed up, and what little we had, it was clean. And so that was my social life, and I couldn't go out like other kids. I couldn't drive a car. I didn't get a driver's license until I got out of high school because of my dad, okay, being very legalistic with me. And so when I got into the military, the first thing I did was hitchhike to San Antonio, go to a bookstore, get a beginner's book in philosophy, and then begin to craft my new persona, my new psyche, my new paradigm for life, and I became an atheist. Okay? Why not? That old God, all he was a crank and going to blister my hide, you know, send me to hell in the end, everything like that. I didn't learn anything about acceptance or love or anything from that God and the people who espoused to him. And so after years, I came to believe in God, okay, my higher power. And so I was open there at step two, okay? I came to believe that there's a power greater than me. Now, someone pointed out to me that, well, you know, that whiskey bottle was a power greater than you. Let me tell you a little bit about that whiskey bottle. My wife, after she got finished and decided that I can't talk this guy out of drinking, okay, so she quit pouring it down the toilet and doing all that other stuff, but she did get a dry marker. And across the label, pretty labels on whiskey bottles, she would write the other woman. And, you know... And it shamed me because she was right. I didn't want to go anywhere without the other woman. Sometimes I carry her in a flask or in, you know, a pint bottle in my back pocket. Sometimes I'd wrap the bottle up in a blanket or something and hide it on the floor. You know, the cops never find those. And but it was the other woman. So here I am. I come to the point where I'm open. And I admit there's a power greater than myself, and it ain't that bottle, okay? And then I come on step three where I'm willing. Well, what am I willing to do? Well, if there's a God in the cosmos, and if he's greater than me, and if he meets the qualifications as I understand them of what God has to be, then it kind of makes sense that I'm willing to turn my will and my life over to him. And that's what I did. So that was the start. Now, here's the surprise, okay? I didn't go through these steps, step one, step two, step three. I did formally with my sponsor, but when I sat in that smoke-filled room that night, I did all three of those in the raw by myself, without a big book, without knowing anything about the steps. God had brought me to my knees to a point where I knew I could not go on with the booze, and yet I did not know how I could go on without it. I was caught between a rock and a hard place in my life. And in his great mercy toward me, he put me right into the middle of a bunch of alcoholics who had found a way. I had found a home, and you know, for the first, 8 months that I was involved in AA, I felt like you all belong, and this was your family, and I was like a guest, okay, in your home, and you treated me fine, you know, you treated me very kindly, you're very friendly to me, but I wasn't really a part of it. And if you're new here tonight, and you still don't think that you quite fit, don't worry about it. Just keep coming back, just keep following suggestions, and before you know it, you'll feel like this is mine. I'm an owner in this business, you know, and you'll find out that it will transform your life. Now, how much time we got? Okay. This is one of the most exciting things in my life. It's to be of service in AA, and I have to share that with you. It all begins with being honest and open and willing. And I have found that working the steps is a part of this thing, which I trust maybe all of us here tonight, except for one, have worked the steps. And that's the beginning of our spiritual journey. When we come down to 12 and it says, having had a spiritual awakening, right? Okay, well, I had that spiritual awakening somewhere between 1 and 12, and I don't know. First of all, it was spiritual experience, It came to be. It wasn't a burning bush, but it was an awakening. And it's never, ever cooled off. It's like a fire. But rather than burn out, God continually stokes it with the folks in AA and opportunities to serve. And I want to challenge, encourage, whatever word you want to pick tonight. When we return home, we're going into a field where people... And I'll guarantee you, even in my rural community, people within a 20-mile radius of me are dying on a continual basis from this disease. And if you live in a highly populated city, hundreds of people are dying all around you each and every day. And we need to never let the fire burn low within us. We need to constantly keep in front of us that we are the big book that people read. And that there are those out there that if they are exposed, they will take to this program. But we have to let them know about it. You know, when I came into the program, I'd heard about AA and I'd even heard about the 12 steps, but I didn't know a darn thing about any of that. Golly, I mean, I didn't know anything. And come to find out, after I got into AA, I didn't know anything about alcoholism either. Okay? You people educated me to what I had in the way of this disease or this illness, this incurable thing that was killing me. I didn't know a thing about it. And I guess with that, I'm going to turn back over to our chair here. I have enjoyed so much being with you, and I'm looking forward to everything ahead in this convention. This is my first international, and I was willing to pick up cigarette butts. I wanted to have a part in this, and you know, your staff had just so graciously allowed me to address you tonight, and so I thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay, just real quick for me, I'm John, I'm an alcoholic, and I found for me, like my book says, once I was beaten into a state of reasonableness, I was honest, I was able to be honest, more honest than I ever could be, and open-minded and willing to grab on to this thing like a life preserver. And I'm going to turn the meeting over to you now, and I'm told that the shares should be limited to 3 minutes, so raise your hand.
Hi, my name is George. I'm an alcoholic from New York City, where real men eat real raviolis. And I'm so grateful to be sober. Just a word, my late sponsor, Scott R. from Southern California, passed away 2 summers ago. Love you, Scott. Miss you so much every day. But as the young lady said up here, that within me, I carry so much of him each day, especially the inventory process, the belief in God. And I can't tell you how many times I call Scott with my tail alone. He'd say, where is God in all this, George? Where is God in all this? And he used to say that to me all the time. And I just love AA. I'm grateful to be sober. Thanks.
Hello, everybody. I'm Dennis. I'm an alcoholic. I got sober in Winnipeg, Canada in 86, and I live in Florida. I have a Florida address on here, but I found a little Canadian pin today that a nice lady gave to me because I want to celebrate Canada Day. My sponsor's sponsor is, his name is Fred A. He's 50 years sober today. I don't know where he's at. He may have to get a note to stay up this late. I'm not sure. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I loved our speakers tonight. I like hearing about being on fire for this program. I certainly am. If you're in Lakeland, Florida, on Monday night I have a men's meeting at my office, and I'll find out. You can find out anywhere locally. They'll tell you about it. This is saves a lot of people's lives, and it's our responsibility to go out there, like this man said, and help be part of that. Thank you very much.
Sydney, I'm an alcoholic. I've been sober since April 11, 2007. I hate public speaking, but I was very moved by you two. And so I got sober the same way you guys did, and I wanted to share my experience with step one, which is the difference between realizing I was powerless over alcohol and admitting I was powerless over alcohol. Because my debut in AA was many years before I got to stay sober. And the things that I did, the admitting process was an action for me. And the same actions that we heard about, it was going to meetings, reading the book, getting a sponsor, working with others. And that was my experience with admitting that I was an alcoholic. And then, you know, the other thing is we referred to the second appendix, spiritual experience. And that was so important to me because the definition given to a spiritual experience in that section is a personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism. And so, for me, just not drinking was a fucking spiritual experience. So, I'm really grateful to be here. I felt very compelled to participate, and thank you.
Somebody put their hand up in the back.
Come on.
There you go, blue shirt right there.
My name's Mark, I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is September 3rd, 1985, and I haven't found it necessary to take a drink since that day. That's true, I'm from Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Got sober in D.C., though. And, you know, I was just thinking about the fact that 75 years ago, two guys were sitting at a table in Akron, Ohio, and a miracle happened. And I was thinking, too, about Bill Wilson when he was in Brooklyn before he met Dr. Bob. He was helping alcoholics. And I was thinking about the fact, I don't know if any of you saw that movie about Lois recently, but there's that one scene where Bill's talking to two drunks on the stoop, and they're looking at him like he's nuts. And he gets in the car, Lois picks him up, he gets in the car, and he's all upset because, you know, I can't get anybody sober. And Lois says, but you're sober. And I learned very early in my recovery, I was told by my sponsor, that if you want to stay sober, you talk to another alcoholic. And it's as simple as that. Steps one, two, and three, you know, there's a guy in my home group who always talks about the first step. And in some ways, he's a little irritating because we're doing the ninth step. You know? And it always comes back to the first step. But what's true about that is, I don't know about you, there is no way in hell I was going to do any other step until I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. There's no way you could work. When I first went to an AA meeting and I saw the 12 steps on the wall, I immediately saw the fifth step. I don't know about anybody else. There is no way, this is what I said to myself, I'm going to do the fifth step. Because I'm not talking to another human being about the deep, dark secrets that kept me in my isolation and my loneliness. But thank God, the gift of sobriety came to me, you know, a few weeks. I got sober on September 3rd, but I didn't go to AA until October 20th of 1985. And the reason is because I'd already read the big book, and I'm smart, and I, you know, what's the big deal? But, of course, I was stark raving mad, and I was suggested I go to an AA meeting, and I went to one. And from that moment, the obsession drink has been lifted. And I'm just, you know, you have to be willing to go to any lengths to get sober. That's what I did. And that's what I was told. And that's what I try to tell the people that I sponsor. If you're not willing to go to any lengths, there's plenty of bars in San Antonio. I mean, believe me, if you want to go get drunk, go get drunk. And if you don't want to do what we do, that's fine. But if you want to be happy, joyous, and free, you'll do exactly what we do. We don't drink each day under any and all circumstances, and we try to help another alcoholic. And in between all that stuff, there's a lot of work to do. But I don't have to do all that today. All I have to do today is stay sober and help another alcoholic. And it's worked for me, And, you know, for those of you who are new, if there's that person in here with 24 hours, all you have to do today is don't drink. And then go to bed, get up tomorrow, don't drink. And hang out with all these people. Thanks a lot.
Guy over here in the white.
My name is David. I'm an alcoholic. Only through God's grace and mercy, I'm sober today in the help of AA. My sobriety day is January 28, 1999. I do have a home group, and I do have, and I do sponsor men in recovery. I like to say this I'm from D.C. by way of Virginia, and this is for a friend of mine that's in my home group, Alan J., to celebrate 50 years of recovery. One is too many, a thousand is not enough. You never take one, you never need one. The truth about the first three steps is this is all about not drinking. You know what I mean? We can talk about the steps. We can talk about sponsorship. We can talk about the fellowship. We could talk about anything you want to. But if you don't stop drinking, you don't have a chance. And if you want to talk about the power of this program, right now we got a whole room full of alcoholics, and we are not drinking. That is the miracle of recovery. Thanks for letting me share.
We have a convention in San Francisco called the Spirit of San Francisco, and I had 2 days sober at my first convention. And I was sitting in the front, and my dad had about 18 years at that time, and he kept saying, "You're going to get it, honey, you're going to get it." And I was like, "What? I don't know what it is, but I don't think I want it." And what had happened was we had had that book that everybody had signed, and someone with, you know, 47 years of sobriety passed it on to me with 2 days sober. And I stayed sober, and I served on the committee of that convention for 3 years. And coming here is just a dream. I had two experiences while I was here. One, we met a woman on a bus who was talking about, you know, they said there was going to be a lot of people, but she didn't think there was going to be so many, and she didn't think we'd all know each other. And we told her, we don't. We don't, but we do. I told her, it's like, you know, meeting someone who grew up in your neighborhood, you didn't know him, but you came from the same place. And you know, and she understood. And then also, I like asking the staff, "Are you tripped out right now?" You know, and they said, "Oh, well, we have a lot of people here all the time." I said, "But this many that aren't drinking?" He said, "You know, I'd be lying if I didn't think some of you were." Right? Because we know how to have fun. You know, I've heard a lot talked about the alcoholic that's dying and that it's our responsibility to reach out for them. And one of my favorite topics is that there's alcoholics dying sober in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. Okay? We don't have to go pull people off of bar stools. We don't even have to go to the treatment centers. They will find us. But there are people maybe sitting next to you right now who have not been given the gift that we've been given. Maybe they're staying sober on the spirit of the fellowship, right? Because it's fun here. It can be a lot of fun here. And they go to a lot of meetings, and they go to a lot of dances, and they eat a lot of cookies, and they want to die. You know? They want to die. Okay? I was really blessed to be given the tools to join the fellowship of the spirit. You know, the message of Alcoholics Anonymous is a spiritual awakening as the result of the steps, and it is my responsibility to carry that message. Not 90 and 90, okay? Not 90 and 90. Not don't drink no matter what. It's I will drink no matter what. And if I don't find God through these steps, I am doomed. I am doomed.
Good morning. My name is John. I'm an alcoholic. I'm from here in San Antonio. I can't tell you how amazed I am to see all of you here. When I was first introduced to AA, I was in 2005, and everybody was coming back, and I just crawled into this treatment center, my fourth one at 23, and I just didn't know what to do. I remember my first meeting, I saw a guy, no offense to anybody in here, but I was real young. I saw a guy in his 70s picking up a 30-day chip, and all I could think to myself was, I just don't have that much time. I just don't know if I'm going to make it. I really didn't know if I had another 50 years of drinking left in me, but I sure as hell didn't want to find out. You know, the thing was, is that I heard a lady one time say in a meeting that if I could die, I would only be so lucky. And with my first step, I'd realized that my disease wouldn't let me die. It would drag it out another 50 years. And as I came to meetings and I hung around sober people, I did stay sober on the spirit of the fellowship. I did the Texas two-step, as I like to call it. I went to meetings and I just didn't drink. And it took me as far as I could. And the next thing I knew, I drank again. And after being 2 years sober, I played with that little idea in the back of my head. Well, I'm okay. I've had some time. It's not going to be that bad. And then I picked up right where I was. And what took 10 years to get me there at 23, at 25, it took 4 months. And I crawled right back in my repossessed car, staring at a park, as my friend Gary said, looking for a cart to put my stuff in. And I just didn't know what I was going to do. And this man came up to me, and I'd known him for, you know, the 2 or 3 years I've been coming around AA. And I felt like I didn't have anything in common with him, and all I said was, I need help. The best 3 words I ever said in my life. And I knew from that point on that whether I liked it or not, I was going to drink. Whether I thought I had a choice in the matter or not, I was going to drink. And as I sat there, and that guy sat there and put me up on his couch, and the next thing I know, he just started talking to me. And here is this 67-year-old man, I'm 25 at the time, running me into the ground, talking my ear off about AA. He'd keep me up till 2 o'clock, I'd pass out, I'd wake up at 7, he'd be talking about it all over again. I was like, damn. But the thing was, is that I realized that he was doing for me what somebody before him had done for him. You know, and another thing that I like to bring up, because I didn't realize how powerful it was, but I remember when I first came in 2005, I saw this poster in my home group at Club 12, man. It said International Convention, San Antonio, 2010. And I remember I sat there and I said, you know, I really get to hope. I really hope God lets me come to this. I really hope. I haven't been able to be sober that whole time. And I almost missed 2 years before it, but I'm working on my third right now. And I'm in the 2010 International Convention in San Antonio. If you don't believe in God, just take a look around because He's all around. Thank you.
My name is Maya. I'm an alcoholic. One of my best friends committed suicide a couple years ago in San Antonio, and I wasn't able to go to his service. And he was in the program and asked me to sponsor him, and I said no. I thought he needed a male sponsor, even though he was gay. And but I told him I would always be his friend, and I was. And he gave me more than I could ever give him, just from asking me what things meant in the big book and just what we do here, you know, being vulnerable with each other. And I think that he was the first person who I was ever really real with, totally real, all the sex secrets, everything. And I wanted to honor him by coming up here tonight and kind of find some healing with that. And I said something one time in a meeting that really meant a lot to him. And I want to say that tonight. And what that was is that I believe that the people that stay sober tell the truth, and the people that don't lie. And I don't think it's very much more complicated than that. And I really believe that it's as simple as, how are ya? You know? And I have a decision in that moment. Am I going to tell the truth or not? And by working the rest of the steps, I find a God that I can trust to take that jump. And Lenny gave me that gift. And now I really don't have any secrets anymore. And, that's amazing. So, anyway, thank you, you guys.
Way in the back, your hands way up. Yeah, you. Come on up.
No, the other one.
Hi, I'm Gerard. I'm an alcoholic. Thanks to God, the 12 steps, rooms full of people like you. I haven't had a drink since April 19th of 2003. Step one, real quickly, I worked the two parts of step one before I ever got to an AA meeting. It was the morning that God basically stepped in and said, you need to stop this. And I knew I was going to need help, so I was going to call the on-call. I was seeing a shrink for all of the problems because drinking was my solution. So I was going to call, and I said to myself that I was going to have a beer to settle my nerves and make the call. And before I completed that thought, I said, like hell you will. You know damn well if you pick up a beer in 30 minutes, your nerves will be so settled you won't pick up the phone. And that was my admission that when I start drinking, I not only cannot stop drinking, but I give up the right to choose what happens next. The second part of step two, the unmanageability, happened about an hour and a half later as I was on the phone with the shrink who was on call that weekend, who happened to be the one that treated my ex-wife for her nervous breakdown after I smacked her. Outside issue. And I broke down in the middle of that conversation in tears, and I told him that I needed to change the way I was living my life, and I did not know how. As arrogant and know-it-all as I had been to tell someone that I couldn't run my own life, I consider that moment to be my bottom. Step two was I was in program maybe a month, and I had been told to pray every morning and ask God for help. I knew I had worked step one and was intellectualizing step two. Someone had told me not to worry about what this power greater than myself might be, that I should just focus on could, be open-minded to the possibility that something could help me. But I really worked step two, if you want to look at it that way. The morning that I got down on my knees and I said, God, help me. And in my mind, I knew that there was something that should come after that. God help me to do something. And I had this moment of tightness in my chest, and then the sentence finished itself. God help me to stay out of my own way. So that was the realization that I was the obstacle to my own recovery. And step three, I worked for about 4 months. Having made the decision, but wasn't doing anything beyond that. And my understanding of step three, and I won't drag you through the whole story of what actually got me to do the rest of the work, but step three for me is basically taking an action to keep myself out of my own way, which is when I am setting aside my will and doing what it is I'm supposed to do as opposed to what I'm comfortable with or would rather do. Thank you for your time. Thank you for my sobriety.
The lady in the black hat that started walking up here. Yeah.
Yeah. morning, everybody. My name is Michelle. I'm an alcoholic. This is my first international convention. I discovered I was an alcoholic by accident. I had a friend, there's a thing in California called Prop 36, and they go in on court cards. And I stuck around and he left. And I'm so grateful that I discovered that I'm an alcoholic, because this is just so amazing. The things that have happened in my life have just been so amazing. I'm a major God shot. About 6 months after I was sober, I've got a little over 3 years. The bar that I used to frequent was sold and flattened. So, I got to be a better human being. That was just too funny, you know? And I've learned that I can be a better human being, a better friend, a better mother, a better, you know, family member. And explaining it to your mother that you're an actual alcoholic was kind of fun. And I wanted to thank everybody, because the one thing that I've learned being here is that I never have to do this alone ever again. I'm never alone. I have friends. And, you know, just being here and saying hi to everybody. Hi, everybody. It's just so cool. Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Right there. Yep.
Aloha, everybody. I'm Old School Mike. I am an alcoholic. Oh, it's great to... Maya, thank you for sharing. It's good to see you. And thank our speakers. You know, I didn't know they still smoke in basements just 3 years ago. Because when I came in, that was the same situation. In a basement of church, smoke-filled room, and I was ready. I had got to the... My bottom was the spiritual bottom, where I lost the will to live. And I had been introduced to AA prior to that, and the seed was planted, but on that day it sprouted. And I walked into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and stuck my hand out, and people reached out and grabbed it. I had one relapse since then. This is my fourth convention, and yeah, it's been an amazing journey. Because, see, alcohol took me to places that I did not want to be. And some of those were like downtown Los Angeles on Skid Row, vacant houses, and other places like having guns at my head by other people and not by police, and things like that. But somehow, I am still here, you know, and I found that there's a purpose here for me. And I can't say enough to how much I love Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I look forward to this convention for a long time. And it's great, you know, it's great to be here in San Antonio. I thank you guys for hosting. I hope one day we can get this thing in Hawaii. We need to talk to some people. But, you know, I love the topic of how I always work that program, you know, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. You know, I came from a really low bottom. I described my bottom, someone pointed out it might be just only two words, crackhead wino, you know, and... I used to say it was three words. Anyway, but, you know, now today, you know, I have a lovely wife, a beautiful child, another older son who's luckily hasn't followed my footsteps, only in the romance department, but, you know. Well, he's not a drinker. But you'll see this little redhead running around with many tags as I got. And, you know, it's his second convention. It's an amazing journey, you know. And, I'm so fortunate, you know, I like I said, my bottom was in Los Angeles. I now live on Maui. I have a house across the street from the ocean. And, you know, some days I still pull into my drive going, is this for real? Is this really for real? And it is, you know, and it is. And I love you guys for that. I thank Alcoholics and my higher power. You know, I call it Spirit of the Universe. I took that from Bill, you know, why not, you know? And that's what I do use today. That is my thing, you know, and it encompasses everything. So thanks for being here.
My name's Johnny C., and I'm an alcoholic. But for the grace of God, I've been sober since May 22nd, 1962. Thank you. I deserve the applause. In that beloved big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, I love the subject and I love the topic. Page 30, we learned, it's a we program, we learned that we had to fully concede to our innermost self that we're alcoholic. This is the first step in recovery. What does this mean to me? It means that I no longer suffer from Mexicanism, I suffer from alcoholism. I received a gift down on Skid Row in Mexico City. The rest of the members of the Skid Row people that I used to associate with, I was in my late 20s. They said, Johnny, please go back to Texas. You're giving us a bad reputation. All of you have impacted me. You've touched me and you've moved me inside. I'm at peace. I'm at peace. I'm at peace. We admit it. It's a we program. We admit it that we were powerless over alcohol. Dash. What does this mean? It means that this liquid that I've been drinking is poison. And I've been intoxicating my body. And I've learned now, because in our beloved book it says we learn. And I continue to learn, to keep on listening to the listening that's already here. Am I really listening or am I hearing? When you hear, you only want to hear what you want to hear. But when you listen with your heart. And we speak the language of the heart here. We speak the language of the heart. In the beloved big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it also says that the only thing that's going to conquer the disease of alcoholism is a spiritual experience. Have I had an experience? Yes. I see the experience right now in all of your faces. The God of my understanding, the God of my choice, has shown me the reflection of who He is on your faces. Only God can give the gift of sobriety to a drunk. No matter who your God is, only He can do it. Nobody can do that. It takes an inside job to do that. The big book says that we will feel that flow. God is going to flow into our hearts and we will have a rebirth. We will be reborn. In the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, right after the ABCs, it says, we. Oh, I love the big book. I love the big book. I said, I love the big book. Right after the ABCs, it says, being convinced that we were at step 3. Am I really convinced that I am an alcoholic? And if I'm not convinced that I'm an alcoholic, I really haven't experienced the first and second step before I take the third step. What does this mean? It means that it's showing me how I can be at peace with God. First, second, and third step gives me peace with God. And when I experience this, I'm no longer lonely in the second step. And the mood you're in, I love you and there's nothing you can do about it. Am I still insane? Yes, I am. But I know it. Ha ha ha! and I'm still learning to learn. Hey, buenas noches. Vayan con Dios. I love you.
This will be our last one, then we're going to close with the Lord's Prayer.
Wow. I'm Hannah, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. yeah, my clean date is January 4th, 2010. And God willing, here in a couple of days, I'll have 6 months, and that's awesome. You know, I don't have to have a bottle in one hand and a needle in the other hand, and that's fucking awesome. Seeing, pardon my language, you know, that's, I don't know. I just love seeing everybody here. It's awesome. This is my first convention. Everybody comes up here looking all calm and stuff, and I'm shaking and crazy. But it's awesome. My dad's in recovery. He's got 20 plus years, and he's been to some international conventions and stuff, and I've heard about it, but I've never seen it. You know, there's all kinds of people out there like me, and it, you know, this puts it in perspective for me, and it's pretty awesome. And I just wanted to thank everybody for coming out and have fun and all that.
Okay, liftoff is completed, and we'll close with the Lord's Prayer.